Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I got to ask you, Bo. I got to ask you right now. Do you disagree, before we get into Ohio State, do you disagree with Doug Lemerice when he says that you can't really measure the Browns right now by the wins and losses? He gave him a break for what happened in Indy.
No, I agree with him. I don't think that this isn't about that right now. Now, it's not fair, right? It's not fair to the fans. It's not fair to the constituents. It's probably not fair to people who try to break this stuff down on sports talk radio. But winning is not part of the plan. That's not what this is about. Hugh's trying to win games. Yeah, absolutely. He's trying to win games. The players on that football team are trying to win games. But did the Cleveland Browns do everything in their power to put the best possible football team on the field this year? No, they didn't. And if you said they did, then I can't help you. So, no, I don't judge it by wins and losses. I judge it by effort, and I judge it if Deshaun Kizer's a franchise quarterback or not. That's where I am with it.
Well, the first half didn't have a lot of effort in it there, Bo. But either way, we're here to talk some college football there. And you make several good points about that. Maybe we'll get back to that a little bit later on. All right, Bo, you saw what Ohio State did against UNLV over this last weekend. I know it's a team that you should beat and beat handedly, and they did so. What did you learn from that outing, though, friend?
Well, yeah, look, not much, to be honest. I mean, they did what they were supposed to do, which is encouraging because sometimes against teams like that, you're sluggish. I think that would have, caused some more red flags for Ohio State fans. But they came out and looked the part. They looked like a top-10 team. They went up and down the field at will against a UNLV team that was probably the worst pass defense team I've ever seen from a team that wasn't a 1AA or Division II team. I mean, they're just totally awful when it came to defending the pass. But I didn't really learn much about the Ohio State offense. JT Barrett was going up against air, so I don't give him much credit for the way he played. I didn't see the ball travel more than 20 yards downfield, I don't think, on any of his completions. The one thing that I do think is maybe a little – not cause for concern, but kind of an eye-opener a little bit, is just the fact that at defensive back, they have not been able to just on with the next the way they did last year. I mean, last year Malik Hooker comes out of nowhere, and he's a comet, and he's the best player in the Big Ten defensively, and that's something that was an aberration, because they've stepped back a little bit in the defensive secondary, and that's to be expected. They had three first-round picks, but that was something that I think a lot of Buckeye fans were hoping that there would be no drop-off, and the reality is there were. There were several plays that should have been picked off in the first half, and they're just not quite there on a pass defense side of the ball at the moment right now. So you want to take away something, I think that's probably the biggest takeaway.
Bo Bishop, joining us on the hotline. We know what we've been getting out of J.K. Dobbins. That guy looks like a absolute star. He looks like he's having a Maurice Claret trajectory for an opening year. Let's just see if he can make it to year two. But after that, I am kind of surprised at what's going on here when it comes to, McCall's had an injury, obviously the kid from Northeast Ohio, and then Mike Weber from Kaz Tech, and his recruitment was very controversial. Stan Drayton, the coach that recruited him, he left, and then the coach at Kaz Tech up in Detroit said, well, that's it, we're never sending anybody to Ohio State again. All of that happened, and now Weber is dealing with an injury, and I don't know, did he get passed up by both Dobbins and Antonio Williams?
No, not from what I understand, buddy. The way that I understand it is Mike's just hasn't been 100%. That he's dealing with this hamstring. He's never really had to deal with one of these before. And if you have one, you have it all year. I mean, it's just something you kind of have to play through. You're going to feel a little twinge in your hamstring through the whole year. And so he's just trying to get used to playing with that. Urban has said emphatically, in fact, he has said that they have to have him. And I love what he said about last week about, hey, we're going to play both backs. So I think that they know if they're going to win a national championship, and that remains the goal, and it's a viable goal, if that's going to happen, they need a healthy dose of Mike Weber. And I think that will be their identity. They will be a tempo power run team, and it will be Weber and Dobbins both getting a ton of carries, and then JT, running play action with run pass option off of it. But I think that's who they'll be, and they absolutely need Mike Weber. I think so quickly we forget how special he was. He really had a great freshman season, 1,100 yards and 6 yards a carry, 9 touchdowns. So they're not going to just throw him out with the bathwater. He's somebody who's going to have an impact. And from what I understand, he's been full clear for this week at Rutgers. So I guess maybe we'll start to see. But I do think one thing that has to happen is that they have got to get him running the football with confidence. And they've got to get him doing that pretty quickly. Because games that are going to be harder to win are going to start coming by the end of October. And they need him, you know, to beat Penn State. They don't beat Penn State, I don't think, without a healthy Mike Weber.
Rutgers, Maryland, Nebraska, then Penn State after a bye week. What needs to be done here to give you more confidence before you get ready for that big matchup against Penn State?
Now, Kenny, why can't you read that with the enthusiasm that I give you? So I love the way you read an ad, and that you were clearly not as enthusiastic on that question as I would like.
Because I'm trying to sell people
a little energy.
No, I'm not going to do it.
A little energy.
Bo, because I try to sell people fine products when I give those ads, when I read those ads, and I am not going to defend the product of Rutgers football, Maryland, and certainly not Nebraska football at this moment. That's not going to happen, Bo.
You could say something nice about Nebraska, can't you? That's a great place to play. Great tradition.
Fine. There you go. Lincoln's a wonderful city.
It's not. It's not much to do there. The reality is that this is an extended preseason for them. I mean, Maryland would have been a challenge, but they've had so many injuries, including to their starting quarterback, that's not going to be much. So this is just about honing things. I think Nebraska still could be interesting. They do have talent. They've had a rough start to the year, obviously, but they do have some talent. But you never know. But this is all about Penn State. And if you watch them play on Saturday night at Iowa and the way they were able to come out and get a win in a really tough atmosphere in a tough place, they have the best player, I think, in the country right now in Saquon Barkley. He's number one on my Heisman ballot at the moment. And, by the way, I think he'd be a great pro. So, to me, that's kind of what this is all building towards. Is you just want to build momentum, and that's why I think the Weber points is one that really needs to be paid attention to, because I think to beat Penn State that last Saturday in October, you know, it's Mike Weber and it's J.K. Dobbins, and it's those two guys, you know, that'll be the back they win it on.
Bo Bishop, join us on the hotline. What have you seen in two games in mop-up duty when it comes to the backup quarterback and sometimes most popular guy on campus there in Columbus, Dwayne Haskins?
Boy, what about that arm? But one of my favorite things to say is arm talent. I love just saying it. I just think it sounds cool, arm talent. And he's got just tremendous arm talent. I can't wait to say it for like 3 years, talk about his arm talent. But he's got it. I mean, the throw he made, you know, the deep post 30 yards downfield on a dime in a small window, that's what he has. You know, Joe Burrow's not bad either. And I think probably the most important thing that has to happen between now and January is they got to figure out which one of those guys is the future quarterback. And they owe it to them as much as they owe it to themselves, because the other one should have the ability to transfer and go find a place where he can play, because the other one obviously isn't going to play. But Haskins is pretty impressive. He's not the quarterback I think some people think he is. I think some people think that he's, you know, this dual threat guy. But as you saw in the game last week, he's much more Cardale Jones than he is Braxton Miller. I mean, he's a big kid with a big arm, and he's more of that quarterback than he is a runner. He's not much of a threat as a runner. So it'll be a different offense under him. In fact, Joe Burrow's probably the more elusive runner. It'll be a different offense if he is the one who eventually gets it. And you salivate, because I think we all remember that the best Urban ever was at Ohio State offensively was the three-game stretch with Cardale Jones and Ezekiel Elliott when they won the national championship. They were never more dangerous than they were
then. But Bo, I was just going to say that.
Threat is a part of it.
Bo, he came in, he launched balls, some of them jump balls. He launched them down the field, the vertical passing game. He had two NFL big-time receivers that obviously helped you out. I don't know that you have that on this team. But I know some Buckeye fans have just floated the question out there, and I know it seems insane given all the records that JT Barrett is going to set. Nobody's asking Barrett to get benched. What the curiosity is that we have seen a team win a national championship using two quarterbacks with two very different skill sets. Any chance Herb would even entertain the notion?
Uh-uh. No,
it was Herb that did it, too. It was Herb the last time in Florida.
Well, I know, but I think that if you want to use the Florida analogy, you'd have to ask yourself the question, would Urban Meyer during Tim Tebow's senior year have pulled Tim Tebow to play Cam Newton? I mean, he had Cam Newton. He had him, right?
Yeah.
He pulled Tim Tebow to play Cam Newton. I mean, Cam Newton, nobody would say that Tim Tebow is more talented than Cam Newton, right? I mean, he had Cam Newton on the roster. And Cam Newton, I can't remember if he redshirted or he didn't play and eventually got kicked out of school. But you think about, like, that's the way Urban views Tim Tebow is the way he views JT Barrett. So that's why the answer to the question is no.
Really?
Chris Leak was not – Chris Leak was not Urban Meyer's guy. Okay, he was not Urban's guy. It was a guy that Ron Zook recruited, and Urban Meyer made do with him. JT Barrett is Urban Meyer's guy. Oh. JT Barrett was made a captain as a sophomore for no reason other than Urban Meyer felt guilty giving Cardale Jones a starting quarterback job to start the year. There's no reason beyond that for him to be the captain of that football team as a sophomore. So that's the way that Urban views JT. He views him as Tebow. Maybe not from a talent production standpoint, but he loves him in the way he loves Tebow.
I'm glad he has a heart anyway. That makes me feel better. Bo Bishop with us on the show, brought to you by Dos Equis. All right, you two ready for me to throw a grenade into this?
Oh, I love grenades.
Yes, you do. The program's valued at $1.5 billion. Should college football players be getting paid?
Yes, of course. Yeah, sure.
Lima?
It has to be severely regulated, and somebody has to actually give me a usable proposition, because I have not, Jay Billis included, I have not seen one formidable plan that wouldn't crush the rest of the NCAA, meaning the other 34 sports that are there.
216-578-0092.
Sports. Life isn't fair, so I don't care about any of the other sports. Football is the one that brings all the money in. I think they need to privatize.
Well, Title IX cares about it.
Lima's exact. Yeah, but forget that. That's why you privatize football. Then you get away from Title IX.
Okay.
You privatize
that's
football, and that gets away from Title IX. The big issue, and you're right, is that the word you said, Lima, and it was spot on, is regulation. Because what you cannot have is you cannot have a $250,000 a year 19-year-old walking around Ohio State. You can't have it.
Like that hasn't already happened. Don't even give me that, Bo. And I'm joking, but I'm a little serious.
No, listen, I saw it with my own eyes, and I'm not going to say the place I work. But I'll never forget the owner of the television station I worked at. I was in the middle of a long investigative piece on players driving fancy cars, and the owner comes to me and he says, son, we tend to do pretty good when the football team here does pretty good. So this isn't a real good business decision we're making. And I said, okay, I get it. I guess we'll let it go. We'll walk away from that. So and it wasn't in Columbus. But I saw plenty in Columbus that happened that I thought, well, how the hell is that happening? How are you driving that car? How'd you make that payment? I mean, that stuff happens all the time, sure. But the idea of it being that's the other part, is then that would get even more crazy. You think about, like, what would an Ohio State booster pay a 17-year-old five-star quarterback recruit to come to Ohio State?
Oh,
can we just admit?
So that's the tricky part.
Can we just admit something here? If you're a hardcore Ohio State fan, I'm going to put us all on the deck here. Is it just a little bit fun? Is it fun to tell those stories? Like Marcus Dupree and all that stuff. I know that there's a really seedy part of it, but in there is. I always love to bring it up. I got that buddy. He's a Florida State booster, and he will pay anybody to go to Florida State. He's unabashed about it. He does not care. He doesn't care if you know. I'm not going to say his name, but he doesn't care.
He's friends with Nevin Shapiro.
And it's spooky
fun. I think the thing you have to remember about college football is that Nevin Shapiro happened at Miami, and it's easy to go get Miami. It's really hard to go get some of these programs and get people to testify against them on the record. That's very difficult to do. And so it's easy to go get Nevin Shapiro or go get, you know, even places like Baylor, although that wasn't about money. But, I mean, there's a lot of ways that, you know, where you can get these schools, but it's hard to prosecute. You know, you try to go to Columbus, Ohio, and try to prove misdoings by boosters. That's a tough spot. It's hard to find somebody who's not a Buckeye fan who go on the record, and the NCAA doesn't have subpoena power. Look, everybody has money. Back to the original point, Kenny. Ohio State is paying a strength coach $750,000. Okay? They have so much money, they don't know what to do with it. So they're just giving it to the coaches. I mean, I'm not kidding. There's a strength coach. Eric Lichter didn't make $100,000 10 years ago.
Nope.
And they got a strength. Mickey Marotti's making over $500,000, close between $500,000 and $750,000. Because they have so much money. We got to give it to somebody.
Yeah, all these strength you know? Coaches from 10, 15 years ago, they're walking around like Bob Feller was. Wish we got paid. Where was our money? All right, but we got to go. Dos Equis, brought to you by Dos Equis. Where are you going to be this Saturday?
I don't think I have an appearance. I think I'll be in studio this Saturday, boy.
Very cool. Very cool. Always a must watch. Kegs and Eggs at 10 o'clock.
Bo.
You got to listen every single Saturday.
We'll see you, buddy.
I got nothing but love for you, boys. Have a good show.
You have a good show on Saturday. Bo Bishop joining us. Love and Warriors Report brought to you by Dos Equis.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road.
With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.